And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Be ready.
Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're here in Phoenix, Arizona. Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, back in the saddle again. We are going to be bringing you into the revolution. There's a revolution going on between the ears of America, and I want to make sure that you're part of that. There's a lot been happening, and I'm publisher of Freedoms Phoenix, Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and there's a lot of things going on. I'm going to get you up to speed. Now, this is what we're going to do. Now, we're going to take today, and we're going to introduce ourselves to each other. Now, first, of course, I'm going to be telling you who I am and what we do here at Freedoms Phoenix and about the show and what we hope to do here in the future. Now, the thing is that there's going to be a responsibility on your part also. If you're listening to this show, you're part of the revolution. So what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. Then we're going to tell you why we're doing this. And, of course, when? Not later. I can tell you that. So not later. Because, the man's getting bad right now, and we need to be prepared for it. And the biggest thing is, I'm telling you, it's getting to where we just need to survive it. To stop this, the Titanic is ripped open. It's sinking. A lot of people, they're so worried about saving the ship of state. We got to get in and save it. And is anybody even concerned about the people? Who cares about the ship? There's so many other ships out there and people and ideologies and opportunities for us to save ourselves and claim our individual sovereignty and not be so worried about saving this battered, beaten, sinking ship. Heck, some of us may have some fun and, kind of key the pain as it slips beneath the waves or something. But, the biggest thing is let's worry about the people and not be so concerned about the ship. Then, how are we going to do it? There's a lot of mechanisms out there, a lot of methods, and a lot of tools. And that's one thing that Freedoms Phoenix has done. We're going to talk about that and how we've provided many tools for you to be a far more effective mind freer than you think. Because that's what this is about. It's how many minds can you free? A lot of people are always looking about how we're going to, build our own ship, get a bigger ship, put a bunch of people on our ship, and then it's just as easy to sink, too. How about you're able to be autonomous, have your own little ship, It could be a little ship, big ship, have your family in it. It's so much easier to make sure that humanity marches on. That we continue to, evolve and thrive into the autonomous human beings that we're meant to be if you have the capacity to get off the grid, to be able. And whether you're living in a city or not, it's not even really the point. It's that you get unplugged from the matrix. And we're going to try and help you with that, and how you're going to do that. Now, what we're really up against is, I want to get right into it. We're short segment right here, but I want to make sure you know what we're talking about. There is a battle that you have with yourself. You have to make sure that you understand what you're dealing with, and it's this idea that you need to have a leader. Let's pick good leaders. Let's pick them the right way. Let's get somebody behind the lever of power that's going to rule my life the way I want them to rule me. Without even the question, where is it on this ballot thing? Where do I get to raise my hand and say, can I not be ruled? I vote that. I vote not putting anybody in charge of me. I take care of me. And you train your children the same way. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. We'll be right back here from Freedom's Phoenix Studios here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit. Back here in Freedom's Phoenix Studios, Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, Central Time, 11 to 1. We're going to be here. We're going to free the minds because what I have learned is that is the most effective thing you can do. I mean, seriously, more than anything else. And there's a couple of ways of doing that. One, it's where you spend your money. I mean, where you put your money, you're voting. You know, if you think voting is a government report from a government election computer that's voting, well, then you haven't been paying attention. Seriously, I've been doing this a long time. And that's another thing. You know, we're going to get to know each other here. And what I want to do is introduce myself to the audience, and we're going to be bringing in a lot of new audience, too. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to get to know them. You're going to get to know me. We're going to get to know each other. And we're going to get to know what we each have to bring to this battle. Because I'm telling you, whether you're directly engaged or not, there's a battle going on. The reason why this is so important to all of us is that we are really engaged in a struggle for life and death. I mean, that's what it comes down to. There are those that want to be left alone. And there are those that just won't leave them alone. They try and make it more complicated than that, and it's not. If you were to look at anybody promising or advocating anything, are they freeing you to do what you want to do, or do they want you to do something for them or to somebody else, or take something from, or they're giving you some noble cause of why it's such a good idea that they take from someone else and redistribute, and of course they get their cut. So if you look at it that way, it's a lot easier to understand what's really at stake here. It's all about who gets to wear the ring of power. Of course, they'll advocate that they're going to do good with it. I'll do good with the ring. Just give me the power and I'll be a good guy. You know, but the real problem is we need to understand that it's the ring that is the problem. You know, I'm a libertarian philosophy. This is going to come out. You know, I'm a long-time libertarian activist. That's why we're just going to have to get used to that. Because it means more to me. It has nothing to do with the party or politics or even voting. It's a philosophy. It's a way of thinking. It's the way you raise children in your life. I've been a long time in this, and I'm telling you. What it comes down to is I put my hand on your shoulder, and I ask you, whose life is this? Let me tell you the conversations, how it comes out like that. When I go to the audience and anyone that calls in and we have a conversation, first we're going to have to define our terms. I mean, that we are using the same words that mean the same thing to both of us. We'll take that time. And as we listen to the show and time goes on, we'll start to understand that the words that we use have, you know, actual meanings, and that we can be talking to each other instead of, you know, past each other. When I put my hand on your shoulder and I ask you this question, whose life is this? Now, there's a couple of things that you can say, all right? Some people, you know, would say, you know, well, it's God's, you know, as, you know, I'm the steward of it. You know, he has given me this gift of life, and I'm the steward. You know, I'm the one that signs the contracts. I'm the one that serves the time. I'm the one that, you know, makes use of this life. You know, I'm the one responsible. I'm the one that's going to have to ultimately pay for it. But, you know, still, you're here on earth. You're responsible, okay? You know, slacking it off on something else, you know, you the man, oh, woman. Now, the thing is that a lot of other people, of course, would say, it's mine. Yeah, mine, done. Either way, same thing, same responsibility. Whose life is this? If it's not, then whose is it? Is somebody else here, some worldly master you got that's going to tell you what you can and can't do? As you talk to people that are, you know, from our perspective, we have words that we use to describe people in certain ways. You'll have, you know, all the isms. You know, there are fascist, communist, socialist, this-ist, that-ist, you know, whatever it is. The one thing that you want to make sure is that you look at them and you go, okay, which ism do you have that includes I'm just an individual, I'm in charge? Which one is that? You know, so we kind of lump them all together and call them statist or collectivist. So you'll start hearing that word a lot. You know, statist, you know, your God is the state. Your worship is the collective. Your, you know, however you want to, you know, call that. But it really is kind of a collectivism. It's the group. It's the group think. It's the majority rules. It's a, you know, even in the Constitution. Now, let's talk about that a second. And we'll get a little controversial on there. If you have some kind of a declarative statement, that's why this show is called Declare Your Independence, okay, with Ernest Hancock. Get a nice big Ernest Hancock on there. And I've been doing this for years, let me tell you. The concept that I try to espouse is this. The Declaration of Independence was very clear. These are the reasons why we're separating from this collectivist authority, that this totalitarian telling us what we can, can't do. We're doing that because we know that, or we advocate that we are our own sovereign. We are our rulers. This was a very new concept. This was like discovering gravity. You know, this was, you know, the concept that you didn't have to answer to someone, you know, was, it was not supported in by the kings and queens, I'll tell you that. So what happened is they advocated for that so much that, you know, we had a revolution. Now, the revolution was well in the minds and hearts of the people, you know, for many years before you actually had the shot heard around the world. What happened when you had the Declaration of Independence, they made it very clear, Jefferson did a great job with that by saying, the proper role of government is the defense of individual rights. That's it. You know, we don't have to get, they didn't even say what kind of government. Whenever you become destructive of that end, it's your right, it's your duty to alter or abolish. Not necessarily hit the reboot button. I mean, if it didn't work, it didn't work. Okay? So then you have the Articles of Confederation. The states are the sovereign, answering to the local people. They go out. They're having a, you know, being free and enjoying the fruits of their labor. And in fact, there's opencurrency.com. I was at the Freedom Fest this last weekend. They had 10 commemorative half-ounce silver coins commemorating the 10 Articles of Confederation presidents, you know, before they even got to the Constitution. So I'm going, oh, that's very interesting. You know, we have these 10 presidents that nobody even knows about. How did that go? How did that work out? Well, what happened? What did they do? They said, you know, we need to have a meeting. We're going to have our common weights and measures. We're going to have a common currency. We're going to get together and we're going to, you know, so we can have better trade and so on. Well, then, you know, the libertarians, you'll hear them calling, oh, you're a Hamiltonian. You know, you start to hear that a lot. You're a Hamiltonian. Because what happened was Hamilton's father-in-law was a merchant in Manhattan, had ties to the central banks in Europe, the Bank of England. So we need to get these guys, we need to get them back together. We don't care what they call themselves or what kind of little legislatures and all that kind of stuff, you know, happens as long as we control the money. It's always about the money. Follow the money. It's a deep throat thing, man. Just follow the money. So what happened was they get them together and we're going to, you know, kind of tinker with this Articles of Confederation, when the plan from the very beginning was to totally redo the government to get us back on some kind of, you know, sovereign plantation. So then you have they had it in secret. Remember that, you know, oh, got to be secret. Why? Well, where'd that come from? So they go in this secret, and then you had the revolution, you had the Continental. They inflated their currency. It's not worth anything. It's out there. Who's going to pay for it? How are you going to raise taxes? Whatever. So these guys are speculating out there, buying these up pennies on the dollar. If they get this Constitution ratified and they're going to make good all those Continentals, you know, it's not worth a Continental. Well, all of a sudden they're going to make them worth something. They're buying them up for, you know, 5, 10, 15 cents on the dollar. All of a sudden, boom, bank. Man, these guys, ooh-hoo, they had a financial incentive to get this thing done. Now, you have Patrick Henry and Thomas Paine going, oh, no, I smell a rat. You know, Jefferson's gone, France or whatever. So then you have, they do the Constitution. Patrick Henry is governor of Virginia. Yeah, I'm sure if I'm making a mistake in any of this stuff, you guys let me know. You know, because I'm going from memory on this, and you guys can help me out. But I'm, you know, this is how my research came up. And this is what happened. 4 hours, Patrick Henry's arguing to the state legislature in Virginia, saying, "No, man, that's the Constitution. Heck, no." What happened was he was saying, you know, you might as well just call him king. Oh, we got these, you know, you had the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers arguing these points. A lot of people talk about the Federalist Papers, all the promises, why it was structured this way, how it would work, all this. But, you know, nobody ever talks about the Anti-Federalist Papers. The Anti-Federalists were the libertarians of the day. They're going, when you have collective power like this, let me tell you what happens. This is not, you know, this is like, you know, you mix certain chemicals, certain things happen. This is what happened. You have collective power here. This is what's going to happen. Oh, no. We got these checks and balances. Patrick Henry's like, oh, really? You know, what happens when you have the legislative, judicial, and the executive aligned against the rights of the individual? What happens then? You wind up in your free speech zone in the corner. That's what happens. And that's where we're at. Everything that they wrote about, warning of, us of, has come to pass. So, do we alter or abolish, or do we reboot what just got us here? And I'm telling you, you know, trying to link God to, you know, it's a divine document or something is a mistake. If I was God, I'd be, don't be putting my name on this stuff. I even play politics. What'd they say? You know, what would he tell Israel? Like, you don't want a king? No, yeah, we do. No, you don't. Yeah, we do. Okay, you asked for it. Now, and this is what happens. You need to advocate for your sovereignty. And any kind of government that you're going to have is not going to delegate any authority to someone over you and think you're going to come out, you know, on the, you know, long end of the stick here. It's not going to happen. So when we did this, there were lessons to be learned. Hopefully we learned them. What I want to make sure, what we talk about on this show, is we free our minds from the concept that we have to have other people make decisions for us. The second you start doing that, that's when you start running into problems. So we're going to free ourselves. We're going to elevate ourselves to self-government, to self-rule. We're going to, you know, think about ways that we can do that, regardless of what happens in politics, regardless of what they do at vote totals and so on. Regardless, we can do it now. And it's already happening. I want to make sure you're part of it. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, we're back here at Freedom's Phoenix Studios here. Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in beautiful Phoenix. Yeah, it may be pretty, but it's hot. Hot, 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 hot. You know, I don't know where it is where you're at, but it's hot. Well, the thing is, you know, I've been around the country. I traveled a lot over the last couple of years and supported the revolution. And what happened was, man, it was muggy in a lot of places. I really, no matter how hot it got here, at least there was a poo somewhere. There's water somewhere. Get the hose on. So it's not that bad. And the rest of the year, it's beautiful. Now, the thing is that what we're talking about is making sure that we are, you know, freeing our minds. We get in a whole different, you know, mindset here. Now, I'm going to go ahead and take calls after the bottom of the hour break. So you guys can go ahead and call in. Make sure you, we'll get you taken care of then. We'll give out the number after the bottom of the hour break. I mean, after the top of the hour, this break, we get into the next hour. Because I wanted to make sure that I get to define some words. And then we'll pile them up and we'll go ahead and take them. I know some of you want to get in on this. But we'll go ahead and back it up here, get some callers in there, and we'll get to it. But the thing is that this first hour, I wanted to make sure that before we started having a dialogue back and forth, that we were using the same terminology. Because when somebody comes to me and they'll say a patriot, or, you know, they're a conservative, or want to know what, you know, they're a liberal or something, that they don't necessarily have the same meanings. I give you a perfect example. I'll tell you a story. We were at the Freedom Fest in Las Vegas this last weekend. A lot of us are activists here. That's one thing you'll be dealing with Declare Your Independence, are activist. Now, a lot of these young guys, they'll say they're an activist and they're doing whatever and they're blogging or something. They call them selectivists. Oh, you mean those selectivists? So the thing is, there's a very high standard here. And I tell you what you're dealing with. We're the ones that came up with the Ron Paul Revolution Love logo. You know, it started here in Phoenix. I mean, it just, and we had that logo. We already had that test marketed even before. We were using it locally. So we knew it was going to happen. There was a revolution already underway. And a lot of people either didn't know it or they didn't want people to know it. Now, a lot of people, a lot of you in this audience did know it. You knew, or sure as heck was time for it. So it just needed a focus. It needed a manifestation. It needed some direction. It just a place to where you gather and you say, oh, yeah, yo, what's up, what he said. And we knew it was so, it was such a surprise to us that it was such a surprise to everybody else. So what I want you to understand is why. I'll give you an example. We're in the Iowa straw poll in, it was 2008. It's Iowa. or 2007, the summer 2007. We start going there. We're doing the straw poll and so on. We're having a good time. You have tens of thousands of people at this thing. It's all a manufactured, hundreds of buses. They charter hundreds of buses. Every church in the state has got their congregation on some bus. You'll have candidates going somewhere, different towns. It's a big show. And a lot of the what you get out of that, the media, is just how much of a show you can put on. Well, Dr. Paul had an enormous number of people that just went on their own. I don't remember seeing a single Dr. Paul bus. But there are a lot of young people. As you look at this revolution, and you go from, the unborn, you got zero age, you're going all the way up to 100 years of age, where was the hump for the 72, 73-year-old man from Texas that hadn't made the evening news and Lord knows when, if ever? Why? Where'd this come from? What was this? Does anybody even ask why, much less answer it? Well, I'll tell you. From my perspective, being nose the grindstone on this thing, this is what happened. When you're in Iowa and you saw all these hundreds of people in support of Dr. Paul and his message, you had a vast majority of them in their 20s. So you had this, if you're looking at a graph or, kind of a wave, you'll see this big hump in, like 25 area there. Why? That became clear to me after spending time with all these guys. Everybody wanted the same thing. They wanted the truth. They just wanted the truth. The difference was that these young people matured along with the internet. That was the difference. They knew the truth because they shared it with each other. It didn't matter what, the cable news channels were saying. They were there with their camera phone. They were instantaneously, now they just loaded up on Twitter, from their iPhone, they click a button, and 30 seconds later, you can see live what's going on, and they can't spin the lies anymore. How do you compete with that when you're a big bad guy? How? I don't know it, but every attempt that they made at it just lessened their credibility. To the point we call them the lamestream media, the media that's so last century. As newspapers are dropping like flies now, is it because of the internet? Well, of course. But, they could be viable. They could just tell the truth. If they were there as a good reporting resource and not just reporting by government handout, they would have value. It's done. It was so over. We knew it was over for them in 2005 when they started doing video over the internet. Freedoms Phoenix was a concept. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Freedoms with an S. Phoenix.com. You go to FreedomsPhoenix.com and you'll see what I'm talking about. We have a wide range there. And what we look for is just, different perspectives. The other bad guys, they just want to lie to you. Well, we're not going to lie to you here. We may have a difference of opinion, but we're not lying. So we'll share with each other as we come back. We'll go ahead and take some calls when we come back. When I come back, I'll go ahead and give you the number out, and we'll start taking calls. So you guys get ready. We'll have some fun.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.